I think maybe I've been a little more introspective lately. I think maybe it's called wintertime, and I'm ready to get out and do some camping and to be outside. But I had another John Muir quote, and the quote is, "And into the forest I go to lose my mind and find my soul."
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we are really lucky to have our amazing correspondent, Casita Dean May, back on the show, and he's here to take us to school and teach us all about the history and the present day of the National Forest Service. Dean is a professor of social work at Western Kentucky University. Laura, his wife, and Dean have been married for 37 years and have two young adult daughters, Natalie and Claire. In their journey to the empty nest, Laura and Dean discovered the RVing lifestyle and culture. In a series of fortunate events, they purchased a new-to-them 2005 Casita 17-foot Freedom Deluxe egg camper, and they are both egg camping fanatics. They are particularly fond of attending egg rallies for RVers that own molded fiberglass RVs. They also travel with Gibbs, the Mississippi Maltese. And today, Dean's back on the show, and he's going to give us an amazing introduction to the National Forest Service. He's going to tell us everything we need to know to camp and enjoy all of the amazing campgrounds, all the amazing land in the National Forest Service system, and just kind of help us get acquainted with their really fascinating history. Now, Dean may assign us a 20-page term paper at the end of this episode, but that's fine with me as long as he is the one to grade it. And also just note that today's episode complements two other episodes that Dean did with us, and I think the three of them really make a nice series. So Dean did an episode on the history of the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. That was just a few months ago. And he did another episode a while back about the history and current moment and camping options within the Army Corps of Engineers. So I will link to both of those shows in the show notes at thervatlas.com. And if you take all three of these episodes together, you'll get really quite an education on those three amazing organizations. At the end of the show, after Dean breaks down the history for us, we'll talk a little bit about Smokey Bear and Woodsy Owl, but I'm going to save them for future episodes and really kind of do a deep dive on the two of them and their history within the National Forest Service. But we have tons of great content ahead of us. I cannot wait to hear from Dean. But before we dive in and talk to him about the history of the National Forest Service and all about their campgrounds that they have right now, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Highland Ridge RV and Thetford. The brand new Open Range Roamer is the mid-profile fifth wheel you have been looking for. Offering more room and less weight, this 100-inch wide-body lineup is feature-packed and road trip ready. With residential amenities such as vinyl flooring throughout, nightshades, a max comfort queen bed with adjustable power base, and their ridge-length Bluetooth control system, you'll feel right at home while on the road. Whether you are looking for a quick weekend getaway or an extended road trip, the Roamer is the perfect fifth wheel for your next adventure. Highland Ridge RV, own the outdoors. And this episode is brought to you by Thetford. Thetford makes going places easy by manufacturing top RV maintenance and sanitation products, and they've been doing it since 1963. Their brand new Titan all-terrain RV hose support is the industry's most rugged and durable sewer hose support. It includes five 24-inch stackable supports that are easy to set up and a generously sized storage bag that makes packing them up just as easy. Titan sewer hose supports have a durable poly construction that is easily washable and has no rusting parts. They support up to 15 feet of sewer hose and are compatible with Titan sewer hose systems and other hoses. And don't forget to look for Titan Green at an RV parts and accessory store near you. To find out more, head on over to Thetford.com. Hello, Casita Dean May, and welcome back to the RV Atlas. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, and it's nice to be here in 2021.
Yeah, it's just like literally nice to be here. I mean, just being alive is a good thing. I'm so excited to talk to you about the National Forest Service. And I really feel like this is like the end of a trilogy because you did the CCC and you did the Army Corps of Engineers. And I really look at these as a grouping or as a series of podcasts. So thank you so much for doing all this research. And I'm just super excited to talk to you about the National Forest Service today.
Oh, I don't know that we planned it this way from the beginning, but it's really interesting the way this has turned out. So this has been a lot of fun. The National Forest Service was a little more difficult to do the research on than the CCC, which is such a concrete entity, or, you know, the Army Corps of Engineer campgrounds. But this was still a lot of fun.
Was it harder because it's so vast and so big and so hard to put your finger on? Is that what you mean? Because it's
yes.
Huge.
That's it. That's exactly the reason why, is because it is so vast and so large. Yet, if you put it within the realm of all of our federal lands, it's still only a small portion of our federal lands.
All right. Well, let's dive in because we have so much awesome content for our listeners. And for our listeners out there, grab a mug of coffee, get some hot tea, get yourself a snack, okay, and just relax and listen. So you wanted to start us off with a John Muir quote to kind of just get us situated in a poetic sense. So give us the John Muir quote. Tell us why it's meaningful to you.
Well, and again, I think it's because it's 2021 is the reason why, and I'm really looking forward to camping. And I found this particular quote that I like by John Muir, and it's, "The clearest way into the universe is through a forest wilderness." And I thought that resonated with me.
So, and then the National Forest Service is perhaps our way of approaching the universe in a really, really grand sense. So let's dive in. Let's get the details. So what's the mission of the National Forest Service? I mean, what purpose is it supposed to serve?
Okay. I mean, it's definitely there for all of us. And the mission is to sustain the health, diversity, and productivity of the nation's forest and grasslands to meet the needs of present and future generations. So, I mean, that is a big mission.
And it's, as I looked through your notes, I kept thinking of how different it is than the National Park Service. And I don't want to get waylaid on that, but it's a much different organization than the NPS. And I think that sometimes people that are kind of novices to the great outdoors might get them mixed up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I think back a few years ago, I would have gotten them mixed up. But I mean, as it turns, and I think a lot of times, we were talking about national parks and some of them, how they've been so busy. The nice thing of a lot of times our national parks are adjacent to national forests. So you can actually camp in national forest campgrounds that are close to national park campgrounds.
That is so true. When we were at Olympic National Park, I was perpetually shocked. Like everywhere we drove around, there's another national forest campground, situated right next to the national park. So that they are, brothers in a sense, or sisters in a sense, or related. So let's dive into some of the little kind of just facts and tidbits that are interesting about the National Forest Service. So what jurisdiction is it under? Like, how does it fit into our system of government?
Yeah. Now, and again, the National Forest Service is unique here in that actually it is part of the United States Department of Agriculture, as opposed to the some of our other federal lands that are managed underneath the Department of the Interior. So you have things like the National Park Service, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Bureau of Land Management are all under the Department of Interior. But what's fascinating with this National Forest Service, it's divided into 9 regions. It covers 44 different states. Again, it's federally protected land, but all of that National Forest Service land that we're talking about still only makes up 25% of all federal land, which I find just overwhelming to think about how much federal land there is out there.
And I guess the National Park Service has another big chunk of it. Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, things are so vast when you head out west. So what else do we need to know? Get us, get us comfortable and settled in here and learning about the National Forest Service.
Okay. Well, the National Forest Service, that means there's 157 different national forests. There's also 22 national grasslands. All told, that would be 193 million acres. But even in addition to that, we also have 403 wilderness areas that make up about 35 million acres. We have national recreation areas, such as land between the lakes that happens to be here in Kentucky, and there's 20 of those. There are 7 national scenic areas, and there are also 7 national monuments, volcanic monuments, and national preserves that make up another 7 million acres.
And a vast, vast organization. Oh, my gosh, they must employ so many people.
Oh, yeah, they definitely thousands of people are employed. You know, the other thing that's interesting, of all of the National Forest Service land, 90% of it is actually west of the Mississippi River. 63% of it is in the lower 48 states, and 34% is in Alaska, which tells you how much federal land there is in Alaska. But that's, 63% of lower 48, 34% in Alaska. But most of that that's in the lower 48 is west of the Mississippi.
That shocked me. Just 90%. But then I stopped and kind of thought about it a little bit. And it makes so much sense for a couple of reasons. First of all, I couldn't tell you where a National Forest Service campground is around me in New Jersey, because I don't think there are any. But it makes sense in the general trajectory and history of our country, because in the East, land was developed before any major conservation movements got started. So then it was really hard to, carve out public land or national parks. Where in the West, and I'm speaking very broadly here, in the West, the conservation movements really started before massive, massive development. And it just kind of makes it a little bit unfair, right? Like, the West has so many advantages for the great outdoors and for campgrounds and things like that. So I feel a little jealous of all those people west of the Mississippi with all that National Forest Service land.
Well, I'm looking forward to exploring some of it at some point. But, even in Kentucky, and we'll talk about it a little later, you think about all that land that's west of the Mississippi, yet we still have 2 large National Forest Service areas in the state of Kentucky. And when I think about how big those are, and to think that that's only a micro percent of everything that's out west, it is daunting to think about how much we have with federal lands.
All right. And you've got a lot more sort of facts and figures here to just help us kind of understand the vast size of this organization. So tell us more.
Yeah. So lots of things to explore. You've got 5,000 miles of wild and scenic rivers, 57,000 miles of streams. You've got 10,000 different plant species, 3,000 animal species, 9,000 miles of service byways to drive and explore, 158,000 miles of trails. You have 1,200 sites that are listed on the National Register of Historic Places, 23 National Historic Landmarks. And all around all of this National Forest land are communities and millions of Americans that get their fresh water from watersheds that are located inside the National Forest.
I would imagine that many of us are taking advantage of National Forest Service land and maybe not even realizing that we're recreating in it to some degree.
Right. Oh, and it is, because Laura and I were camping in the Hoosier National Forest. We were just amazed at how large the forest was and how there were all these different communities that were just on the fringe or just on the border of the forest.
All right. So in your notes, which are amazing, look like they were done by a college professor, Dr. Casita Dean May, you actually break down the National Forest Service into its component parts. So tell us about all the different types of sites that they manage.
Well, another overwhelming number here is to think that they have 277,000 heritage sites, 23,000 developed recreation sites, 135 alpine ski areas, nearly 1,500 picnic areas, over 1,200 boating sites, 144 swimming areas, 18,000 recreation facilities, and 480 resorts.
Now, in your research, was a lot of this built post-World War II and a lot of the infrastructure aging? Is that true?
Yeah, yes, yes. I mean, that's definitely true. I mean, it started in the early 1900s. But of course, you know, as we know from the CCC episode, there was a lot of development during the 1930s. And there was, you know, considerable development that continued into the 50s and even the 60s.
So the CCC, and correct me if I'm wrong here, so the CCC and the National Forest Service, their histories are intertwined a bit, perhaps. Like, in other words, some of the CCC projects are now in land managed by the National Forest Service. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Great. Yeah, fascinating history. So for the outdoor enthusiasts, what are some of the really awesome, fun adventures you can have on National Forest Service land?
Now, you can go to the National Forest Service website, and it's a website that's full of information. I wouldn't call it 21st century, new millennial type of in terms of using it. It was a little difficult to use, even though it's full of information. They do have an interactive visitor map. And what you can do is if you're interested in camping and cabins, you can search that way. Or if you want to do hiking or skiing or biking, or you want to do something with horses, you can do that. There's different things you can do, like with picnicking and nature viewing, of course, water sports, fishing, and a lot of motorized activities, including off-road, all-terrain, and dirt bikes. So if you're into the four-wheeling and off-road stuff, there's lots of activities like that. And of course, you can do hunting and shooting and a variety of educational activities. And you can even look if you need to, in terms of accessibility information, in case if there's a disabled family member or something like that.
I'm starting to think that, and you're persuading me here, even though you're not necessarily trying to, I'm starting to think that the National Forest Service is underrated and that the National Park Service overshadows it in some ways. And we all think, oh, the National Park Service, America's best idea. I think that's Wallace Stegner. Why isn't this also our best idea? You know, it sounds just as good and just as vast and just as many opportunities for amazing recreation. I mean, is it just because the National Park Service has Yellowstone and Yosemite and some of the most iconic places in the entire country? Is that the edge that the NPS has over the NFS?
Yeah, I mean, that very well could be, but you can see, and I've talked to a number of people that have camped for decades, and the things that you can see in the National Forest campgrounds and areas are beautiful. We even have areas here in Kentucky that you can compare it to East Tennessee when you think of Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, and which, of course, you know, those are located in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. Yet there are other areas just a few miles away that are just as beautiful, but don't get nearly probably a micro percent of the number of visitors.
All right, we are going to come back in a second and talk about what a lot of our listeners really want to learn more about, and that's camping in the National Forest Service. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Ocala Marion County. Ocala Marion County is a place well worth planning a trip to. This may be the last place you can experience Florida in its natural state. Not overdeveloped or overly crowded, just quiet, natural, and spacious. Ocala Marion County welcomes RVers with plenty of beautiful parks and resorts, some of them located right on lakes or even golf courses. And once you're there, the whole area becomes your own personal outdoor playground. You can explore miles of hiking trails and spot wildlife like deer, bald eagles, and of course, alligators. You can cycle scenic roadways or mountain bike on nationally recognized trails. You can canoe, kayak, paddleboard, or simply splash around in pristine waterways, including the area's famous Crystal Clear Springs. And once your adventures are done for the day, you can enjoy everything from award-winning craft breweries and barbecue joints to hip farm-to-table restaurants and taquerias. Take it from us at the RV Atlas, Ocala Marion County is worth the trip. Plan your adventure today at ocalamarion.com. All right, Casita Dean, welcome back to the show. Let's get into camping. And what I liked that you did here is you kind of broke this down into two parts to some degree, motor camping and camping in general. So give us some of the history of camping in the National Forest Service.
Yeah, now I had a lot of fun exploring this aspect of it. The Forest Service, and we could even go back into the precursors into the 1800s, but we won't go quite that far back. The Forest Service was established in 1905. Then in 1912, the Forest Service reported 231,000 campers in the National Forest. Then a little later in 1924, there was actually a budget line item for campground development in the amount of, get this, for the entire National Forest Service for campground development, $37,631. While I was doing the research on this, I found a real interesting quote that made me think about, you know, we're thinking about everything that's going on now in terms of camping and the growth of camping and the growth of RVing with everything that's going on in our country. And listen to this quote from Motor Camping Magazine in 1923. And here's the quote. In the United States, a new and increasing way of satisfying this desire for recreation and adventure has swept the country. Motor camping has become a leading national pastime. Thousands play golf every year. Tens of thousands play tennis. Hundreds of thousands play baseball. But in the past few years, millions have gone in favor of motor camping. And that was Motor Camping 1923. And I'm thinking, here we are in 2021, and we could be saying the same thing.
About van life. It's almost like motor camping was the ancestor or precursor to van life. I actually have two books that were published by Ford, by the automobile company Ford. And I think they're from the 50s or early 60s. And they were completely like instructionals on how to car camp, on how to use your Ford station wagon and turn it into almost like an RV, like a camper. And that was incredibly popular. I didn't know it went back to the 20s, but that was popular from the 20s into the 60s. And then I think that the RV started to take over, the travel trailer started to take over, and the kind of car camping thing faded a little bit. But it's fascinating. I mean, it is a long tradition going back, people just wanting to get outside and escape.
Right, right. And then, you know, as we move, we've talked a little bit about, you know, the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps in the 1930s. We had the Great Depression. With the growth of the National Forest Service, because of everything that was going on during the Great Depression, the National Forest Service, through projects like the CCC, was able to sort of catch up with the demand and create more infrastructure. By 1938, the National Forest Service had 3,587 developed campgrounds, 3 million visitors, and by 1952, it was 4.5 million visitors. By 1962, it was up to 8 million camping visits. So there was definitely some growth in those decades post Great Depression.
And that's when these campgrounds were being built at that time. And of course, they weren't being built for modern RVs. I mean, they were being built for people motor camping, as it were. Tent camping, maybe a small travel trailer. And when you go into these National Forest Service campgrounds, even today, you'll see they are not super accommodating for larger rigs because they were built at a time when they didn't really exist or there weren't very many of them. So any great resources for how do you approach this as an RV owner, as a tent camper? If you want to go camping in the National Forest Service, where do you even look?
Well, again, you can go to the forest. There are different websites, including the National Forest Service. And you know, there's also forestcamping.com and a couple of other articles or maybe links that you can put in the show notes. In terms of reservations, you're going to make the reservations through recreation.gov. And I think as of the most recent numbers that I could find, we're looking at about 4,300 National Forest Service campgrounds with 122,000 campsites.
That's amazing. And I feel, I don't know this as a fact. I feel like it's an untapped network of campgrounds. I'm sure that ones in very popular areas or right by Olympic National Park or right by Yellowstone, I'm sure those campgrounds fill up. But I bet there's some real undiscovered gems out there in the network that are even just kind of hard for the average person to find. I almost feel like there needs to be a book. And I think there is a book that lists them, but I think there needs to be a book that reviews all of them. And maybe you and I should write that at some point.
Now, and that would be a big book. So there's definitely a lot to cover there. And the other thing with the National Forest Service, given that we're talking about federal land here, is this whole idea of dispersed camping and boondocking and things like that, which I have to admit, you know, Laura and I, at this point in our camping career, we don't know a lot about that. And if we're going to do more boondocking, you probably have to start adding some solar to the casita, and we may want to upgrade that 10-gallon fresh water tank to a little bigger water tank.
Yeah, that sounds good. You guys definitely need to get solar. I think that's the first step. Now, let me ask you a question here. You know, we've talked about the Great American Outdoors Act on the CCC podcast, which is going to bring a lot of new funding into public lands. And there is a lot of conversation around the modernization of campgrounds, both in the National Park Service and the National Forest Service. Now, I think there's really great potential here, but it's also there's some potential controversy. Now, a lot of people don't really want our National Forest Service campgrounds to become modernized and to have 40-foot pull-through sites with full hookups. And there are people that are concerned they could lose their natural beauty or that rustic feel. Then, of course, there's other people that are like, I can't get an RV site anywhere. I can't get my, you know, 38-foot RV into a National Forest Service campground. Please add sites, modernize. And I think that my concern is like, I love National Forest Service campgrounds, and I love KOAs and, you know, mom and pop campgrounds, but I don't want our National Forest Service campgrounds to become like KOAs. I mean, do you share that concern at all, or do you think that I'm worrying too much?
No, I don't. I definitely don't think you're worrying too much. I mean, that does concern me too. I know we've been into some, not just National Forest Service campgrounds, as well as even some, you know, obviously even state campgrounds and national park campgrounds. They are in desperate need of renovation and infrastructure improvements. So again, with the Great American Outdoors Act, hopefully something can be done to address that. But I think there's a pretty, I think that there is a happy sweet spot in terms of balancing the beauty and integrity of these areas, while at the same time allowing a few better amenities without, you know, turning, you know, every campground into something that's overly commercialized.
Well, I would have confidence in that if you were the head of the National Forest Service. You know, there's another controversial issue here, though, and that's a lot of the private campgrounds that exist outside of the national parks and exist outside of the National Forest Service's campgrounds. They differentiate themselves by offering full hookups. That's their business model, right? And believe it or not, some of our listeners might not believe me on this, but trust me on this. There are a lot of private campground owners that do not want to see the NPS and National Forest Service campgrounds overly modernized or overly well equipped for big rigs because they might lose business, you know, and I'm not sure if they're right or not. I mean, it's possible that there are just so many new RV owners that we need as many sites as we can get, and all the mom and pop campgrounds will do just fine. But it is a little bit of a controversy for sure. So we're going to come back in a second. We've got a lot more from Dean. We're going to talk a lot more about the National Forest Service. We've got a lot more to learn. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at CampSpot. CampSpot is an instant booking platform for camping across North America. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more, whether it's last minute or for your epic road trip months away. CampSpot lets you filter your search results by the type of getaway you want. Browse by location, price point, site type, amenities, and more. CampSpot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and the lowest price guarantee so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best prices. Plus, you can save your favorite campground finds for future trips and keep all of your reservations organized in one place. No more digging through old emails to access your reservations. With CampSpot, they are always right at your fingertips. Book your spring camping trips now and those summer and fall camping trips now. To find your CampSpot, visit campspot.com today. So, Dean, you live in Kentucky. You You love Kentucky. You love to camp in Kentucky. Take us a little bit into more detail on, like, what does the National Forest Service offer in Kentucky? What, you know, what facilities, what recreation have you taken advantage of?
Okay, we have two National Forest Service areas in Kentucky. One is the Daniel Boone National Forest. It's more in the eastern part of Kentucky. It takes up a vast amount of area. I mean, it's 708,000 acres of forest. It's divided into four districts. You can rent cabins. You can go camping. You can do dispersed camping. They have group camping, I mean, all different types of activities. Got 600 miles of hiking trails, and probably one of the, well, I mean, it's all gorgeous, but one of the prettiest areas inside Daniel Boone National Forest is the Red River Gorge. And I don't know that that's one of those areas that gets a lot of national attention, but if you're traveling anywhere close to Kentucky and you want that type of experience, there are all different types of little National Forest Service campgrounds spread across the Daniel Boone National Forest. And I would definitely recommend touring the Red River Gorge. I kind of grew up, I have a lot of family in eastern Kentucky. I grew up in southern Indiana. So when we would go from southern Indiana to eastern Kentucky, we would go on a interstate called Mountain Parkway. And we got a chance to explore the Red River Gorge. And it is a beautiful area.
Now, you're also longtime listeners of the podcast also know that you love land between the lakes, and you've covered that before on the podcast and reviewed some campgrounds. So what should we know about that?
Yeah. And that's the other thing that it was just so surprising to me. Laura and I have camped more over at Land Between the Lakes than we have in the Daniel Boone National Forest. And I know how big Land Between the Lakes is. It's 170,000 acres. You got 300 miles of natural shoreline. You've got hundreds of miles of hiking trails. But then when I ended up, you know, thinking about that relative to the Daniel Boone National Forest, okay, we're over at LBL. It's 170,000 acres. It takes hours to drive around, and it takes days to explore parts of it. Yet the Daniel Boone National Forest is 708,000 acres. So it's huge. I mean, it's quadruple the size of Land Between the Lakes.
I mean, you could spend the rest of your life finding cool things to do in National Forest Service sites in Kentucky. I mean, the idea of kind of, I mean, a lot of people on Instagram and whatever, they're like, oh, I'm going to go to all the national parks, you know, and that's something people do. I mean, it's like a reasonable bucket list item to achieve and to go after. And yeah, occasionally they add one like New River Gorge or Indiana Dunes Lakeshore. But like to try and really cover all of this stuff in the National Forest Service almost seems like more than one lifetime could handle.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. I know our most recent campground or camping experience was back in November. We haven't been back out since, but we were at the northern ridge of Land Between the Lakes, and we got a chance to camp for the first time at Hillman Ferry Campground. Most of our camping in Land Between the Lakes has been on the southern tip of LBL. We've actually been camping in Tennessee, Dover, Tennessee, rather than in Kentucky. So it was nice. We had a lot of fun, and that northern half of LBL was a lot of fun to explore.
Now, what are some other resources if we want to learn more? And I will link to, Dean, there's so many great links here, and I will put all of them in the show notes at thervatlas.com. But for people listening, what are some other websites and videos they can check out to learn more?
Yeah, back in 2015, the U.S. National Forest Service partnered with the National Forest Foundation, and they came up with something called It's All Yours as a campaign. And there is really some really cool videos and the websites associated with that. That's a lot of fun to look at. And they kind of broke it down into the Go Play, Go Discover, Go Beyond those are the different dimensions of that It's All Yours campaign. So I think that's worth checking out. And then also something that's always a lot of fun, the Rock the Park guys, they actually have a Rock the Parks National Forest in the United States. So it's a YouTube, you can catch it catch it on YouTube. And it's a nice video that covers a lot of different national forests and just kind of highlights, hey, here's some things that you can explore. So not just national parks, but hey, check out these national forests.
That's the second episode in a row where our guests mentioned Rock the Park, which is such a wonderful show. And
yes, it is.
They've covered so much and I've lost the thread because they've moved from streaming network to streaming network and I don't watch them Saturday morning live. So I really am looking forward to like a marathon episode of Rock the Park to catch up with Jack and Colton's adventures. They're both really wonderful guys. So what other resources if we want to just kind of get inspired and see what kind of adventures we can have in the National Forest Service?
Now, if you really want to get in depth in terms of exploring national forest and forest land, the Forest History Society, I was checking out their website, and those are some folks that are passionate about forest. But there's also some other things where you can, the top 15 states for RV camping and national forest and Discover the Forest websites. So there's some pretty decent resources for just learning about our national forest.
All right, we're going to come back in a second and wrap up the show with Casita Dean May, one of our favorite correspondents, and we're just so lucky to have him here. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Whether you enjoy the comfort of a cabin, are an RV enthusiast, or prefer tent camping, award-winning Jellystone Park's first-rate accommodations, attractions, and activities provide the setting for a fun family vacation that's also easy on the wallet. Jellystone Parks have everything you and your family will need to make long-lasting camping memories. From amazing water zones, including pools, splash parks, and splash pads, to mini golf, wagon rides, and jumping pillows, to themed weekends and family camping-oriented activities, including appearances from Yogi Bear and friends. You'll notice that family fun at our exciting camp resorts is the main attraction. And just remember, it's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone Park. And to find out more, visit jellystonepark.com. All right, so concluding thoughts on the National Forest Service and some other little maybe pop culture tidbits here.
Okay. And here's one that I thought that maybe some of our listeners don't know as much about, since I'm maybe a little older than some of the other demographics here at RV Atlas.
We have all ages.
All right. So all ages. So some people are going to remember this. The Forest Service achieved widespread awareness during the 1960s because of the longtime TV show, the classic TV show called Lassie, which was a show about a collie. And so what the show did is the show ended up emphasizing different adventures that Lassie would have with different forest rangers. So that's how the National Forest Service got a lot of attention in the 1960s, was because of the show Lassie.
When you mentioned that to me, I went back a couple nights ago and I watched the first episode of Lassie, which I think was 1954. So I was lying in bed with my iPhone and my earphones on, and Stephanie was lying in bed next to me with her laptop and she was watching something. And she always mocks me for like bothering her when she's relaxing at night. But when she noticed that I was watching Lassie, she started to mock me ruthlessly for watching Lassie. And in that first episode, it's nothing to do with the National Forest Service. Like that obviously happened in the show ran for like 17 years or something. But I'm not saying this sarcastically, the first episode of Lassie, which was a two-part episode, was gripping. And I am like, I am hooked, and I swear to our listeners, I am going to continue watching Lassie. Did you, as a kid, did you watch Lassie? I mean, do you remember Lassie reruns?
Oh, sure. In the 1970s, we would watch, after school, would watch Lassie reruns. So, yeah.
Now, another, like two other tidbits here, and I debated about this, but I'm going to save these two things for separate episodes because they're so interesting. But also, you can't talk about the National Forest Service without talking about the Smokey Bear ad campaign. And he's Smokey Bear, okay? That is just an iconic ad campaign that is ongoing, run by the National Forest Service. And I definitely want to do a whole episode on the history of Smokey Bear, not Smokey the Bear. I think one time on the podcast, we called him Smokey the Bear, and we got emails about that. And then also recently, I delved into the history of Woodsy Owl. And the history of Woodsy Owl is really weird and bizarre with some strange twists and turns. And there will be a whole RV Atlas podcast episode about Woodsy Owl at some point, too. So I'm going to hold back a little on those two things. So what else do you got? A couple more quotes, a couple closing thoughts?
I think maybe I've been a little more introspective lately. I think maybe it's called wintertime and I'm ready to get out and do some camping and to be outside. But I had another John Muir quote, and the quote is, "And into the forest I go to lose my mind and find my soul." So I liked that one.
I love that one. And then just quickly, last weekend, I dragged Max and Theo and Wesley to go for a hike in the woods with me. And they were kicking and screaming. And usually, you know, for years, my kids have been awesome about getting outside, but they were resisting. They wanted to sit home and look at screens, too much of that during this coronavirus. But I dragged them into the woods. We did a really long hike and we all had a blast and we really felt rejuvenated by it. So I love that quote, too.
Right. And then the last one is a Walt Whitman quote. And it is, "Now I see the secret of making the best person. It is to grow in the open air and to eat and sleep with the earth," which I think goes right along with what you just did with your boys.
Yeah, I love Uncle Walt, too. You're making me miss teaching English a little bit. So, Casita Dean May, I am in the same boat that you are in. I am just desperate to get the RV out and go camping. Do you guys have some things planned soon? Are you going to be dewinterizing the RV anytime soon?
In fact, I'm going to repack the wheel bearings this weekend. And we were going to have a March trip that unfortunately we've had to cancel. But right now, unless we get out before, we will be in the Great Smoky Mountains in Townsend, Tennessee in April.
And that's one of your favorite places. What a beautiful place to reconnect with nature. Casita Dean May, thank you for all your contributions to the RV Atlas. And I will link to those episodes that you did fairly recently, the one on the CCC, and a bit before that, the one on the Army Corps of Engineers. And we just love having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
See you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to our sponsors.
To Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, CampSpot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And join the friendliest group of RVers over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
And if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.